Please be seated. Last year I went to England and I saw some old friends of mine, and I was talking to them and they were telling me about their son, and they said, well, he's a wonderful son, he's a lovely son, and they were saying such things as this. And then all of a sudden they told me and they said, but when he drinks, he changes. And of course, when they said when he drinks, they didn't just mean having a glass of wine with his food or a beer on a hot day. They were thinking and talking about when he gets drunk. And obviously, when this boy got drunk, he changed and became very difficult. And I'm sure some of you may understand, in fact, many of us may have had experiences of people like this, friends, maybe even members of our family, who are extremely nice and friendly, helpful, but when they drink, when they get drunk, they suddenly change and become rather difficult and awkward, and may even say things that are spiteful and hurtful and even be destructive in terms of property and so on, but also destructive in terms of relationships. And of course, this is not just something new. This is not hasn't just happened in the last few years. But if we went through history, we could find many examples of people who got drunk. And it was a problem in the time of Paul as well. So Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, which we've had in our reading, in verse 18, he says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And it's these last words in particular, "be filled with the Spirit," that I'd like us to consider today. But before we do that, we ought to just remind ourselves something regarding the teaching of Scripture, regarding the believer and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because as we turn to the Scripture, we must be quite clear in our mind that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. In fact, we experience the work of the Holy Spirit. In this very same letter, in the letter of Ephesians in chapter 1, we read these words. "Having believed," says Paul, "you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So he tells these believers, he reminds them that they have the Holy Spirit within them, and that he is like a deposit, he is like an assurance of that great inheritance that is to come. And then if we turn to other parts of Scripture, we also are assured of this matter. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you?" And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. So let us be quite clear, before we come to consider the filling of the Holy Spirit, let us be quite clear in our mind that we, if we are true believers, have the Holy Spirit within us. Indeed, he is at work in our lives. But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. So what does that mean? It obviously implies that there's something more that we have to experience. Well, in order to understand it better, let us look at the words just before. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." Well, how do we imagine, how do we think of someone who is drunk? You know, there's obviously some picture language here, some similarities and some differences. I mean, when I grew up in England, one of the things that we often had on the television were advertisements telling people not to drive under the influence of alcohol. There was a concern that people would get in the car and after having a drink, then their judgment would be affected. So we understand that someone who drinks a great deal, who gets drunk, is under the influence or the control of alcohol in some way. Indeed, sometimes when someone who is drunk says some spiteful and hurtful things, someone may even console us and say, Don't worry. It's not him, it's the alcohol, it's a beer speaking. We recognize that there is an effect of the alcohol, of the beer, or whatever he's been drinking on the person. And again, afterwards, when many people have got drunk and they realize that they've done silly things, they said awful things, then afterwards they're very upset. And they say, I'm sorry, I was drunk. You know, I was under the control of this alcohol. So when we read, be filled with the Spirit, and we have this picture, on the one hand, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. Certainly, it seems reasonable to understand that in some sense or other, we're under the influence, we're to be under the influence of the control of the Holy Spirit. But how do we come under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit? Well, if we look at the passage, this is Ephesians 5, and in Ephesians 4, Paul puts it in the context of holiness and submitting to God's will. We read, for instance, in chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You must no longer live as the people around you do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. So he speaks and says, don't be like the people around you with the futile thinking, with their strange way of thinking that they have. Indeed, if we're thinking back of someone who's drunk, we also consider that their thinking is affected. And then he says in verse 22 of chapter 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. They are to put off their old way of behaving, and they are to adopt this new way. Indeed, as we look at it, we can also see in that verse there that there's understanding that God is also at work within them through his Spirit. Because it talks and says that put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. They were to seek after this righteousness and holiness of God. They were to seek to be godly people and put off the old way of behavior and adopt this way of behaving, which is of the people of God, which is one of righteousness and holiness. And then Paul gives various examples of how they are to put up old behavior and to adopt new. He says to them, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. You know, don't lie. Now that you're believers, speak truthfully to your neighbors, to the people around you. He says, he who's been stealing must steal no longer, but rather must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. He tells them to leave off. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't come out with things which are unhelpful to other people, but rather come out with things which are positive, which are going to build them up, which are going to help them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. But rather, these people, these Christian believers, are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, he says. So we see that this is how the believers were to be. They were to put off the old way of behaving, and they were to adopt these new values, the values of the people of God, these values of holiness and godliness. And as we look down, we find that also in chapter 5, before we come to the verse that we're considering, he also speaks to the believers to understand the will of the Lord. He says, live as children of light and find out what pleases God. And then just before the verse that we're considering, he says, therefore, do not be foolish. You know, do not go in your own way of thinking without God. Don't go on disregarding what God's will is. No. Rather, understand what the Lord's will is. And if we think of someone being foolish, just going their own way, we can very much imagine someone who is also drunk is also just doing their own thing. So there's very much a parallel here. So then, how are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, surely in the context that we've been looking at, we see that from our side, because of course the filling of the Spirit is from God's side, we need to seek after righteousness and holiness. We're to leave off the life of the world around us, put off those old habits, that bad way of living, if you like, and to adopt the lifestyle, the behaviour of the people of God. But let us not imagine, as we think about this and as we think of being filled with the Spirit and submitting to God's will, that these things are easy. You know, if we have any doubts about it, we only need to ask someone who's experienced hurt. Maybe it's hurt in terms of their employment. They've been passed over for some promotion. Or maybe it's hurt in terms of what someone from their family or their friends have done to them. It's not easy to get rid of that feelings of hurt and bitterness and anger and to replace them with feelings of love and forgiveness and kindness, is it? And of course, as we look at Scripture, we find that Scripture recognises it. Paul speaks about us wrestling, not against flesh and blood, in this very same letter, running the race, fighting the good fight of faith, and so on. We find that it is a difficult thing to want and to desire holiness and to be holy. It is difficult to change. It is difficult to make ourselves ready to be filled with God's Spirit. But let us make some words for application before we end. Recently we've had the Olympics, and soon it's going to be the Paralympics as well. And so we've had sportsmen who have been trying their best for many years. And actually, I do know something about sport, as I know some sports people. And I know it's very easy to be a good sportsman, but still not to be as best or as good as they could be. You know, it's easy to, when they have their weight, you know, they sometimes go down and they have a barbell and their weights on the end, to have what lighter weights than they really should do, just to get the session over and done with. You know, it's very easy when they're told to do running up and down intervals, not to put in as much effort as they should do. So in that situation, whether the person may be still a good sportsman, but not the best, what does the coach say to him? Well, surely he says something like this. Do you really wish to be the best? Do you really want that gold medal? Do you really desire to win that competition? He challenges the athlete to think about his commitment. And so, likewise, as we go on in the Christian life, it's easy to be content with some form of holiness. It's easy to be happy to go on with some work of the Spirit in our life. But surely we should be desiring and wanting more. Let us imagine that there is some coach coming to us and speaking to us. Well, what would he say? And of course, I speak to myself as much as to you. Surely he would say something like this. Do you really wish to be holy and righteous? Do you really desire to submit to God's will? Do you really want to be filled with God's Spirit? Let me end with these words of Paul. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. May we be a people who are filled with the Spirit of God.